Hello everyone, thank you very much for being here. I'm Onji Gay from Kansas State University. For the next 10-15 minutes, I'll be talking about water-soluble carbohydrates in wheat. So my presentation outline includes first introduction, followed by methodology, results, and I'll conclude with sub-summary from my results. Okay, for the introduction, let's start with wheat. Wheat is an important cereal crop that provides 19% of the calories and 20% of the protein to the growing population. And out of all wheat growing areas, 90% of the area is occupied by the bread wheat. So it's most commonly grown wheat in the United States and all over the world. And like other crops, wheat is also affected by several environmental conditions for its growth and development. So I have a table here on the top right. But from Boyer 1982, it talks about the area of the U.S. soil affected by different environmental limitation, and drought is the number one over here. And in the bottom right over here, it's about the proportion of the payment made by the insurance company for several reasons of crop loss. Again, drought is the winner with 40.8% of the payment for the crop loss by drought. So that was a paper more than 30 years back, but the situation is still similar, shown by this graph over here, or it's even getting worse because the exceptionally dry areas are increasing as we move forward towards the present days. So with no doubt, drought is a major abiotic stress causing substantial crop loss and productivity. But the major question over here is, how can we cope with that? The main way to cope with drought is by the use of drought-tolerant varieties, but variety relief is a long-term process which requires first for the creation of genetic variation, and those needs to be tested for several years for selection, which is a very time-consuming process. And selection so far has been most of the time is with yield, but we all know yield is a very complex trait, and it has low heritability, so it might not be always a reliable trait given the different environmental condition and variation going on with the environment. So breeders are focusing on like secondary traits that are highly heritable. Like one of them is water-soluble carbohydrates, which I'm going to present in wheat today. About this trait, these water-soluble carbohydrates are just like a sugar reserve in the stem, like glucose, fructose, sucrose, but mainly fructans. And during grain filling stage of wheat, which has to depend on two carbon sources for grain filling. One is ongoing photosynthesis, and another is by the mobilization of store reserve. This mobilization becomes more important when the plant is subjected to stress situation like drought, heat, and it can contribute up to 70 to 80% of grain field when the plant is under that situation. But under normal condition, it's just 20%. So with this and several research has found that it increases in response to water deficit, mainly in drought-tolerant species. So the genotypes that are more tolerant to drought tend to accumulate more water-soluble carbohydrates compared to the susceptible genotypes has been shown by the research already. And we know it's like a highly heritable trait based on the past research. But the problem with this is like it's largely time-consuming when you have to do in the lab for like hundreds and thousands of samples that breeders has to deal with every year. So it's really important to look for like the method that we can like rapidly and quickly predict for water-soluble carbohydrate from the several number of genotypes in short period of time. So with this background in mind, our main research objective was to develop a near-infrared model for quantitative determination of water-soluble carbohydrate in wheat. And we wanted to describe this genetic variation in terms of yield and yield components. And along with that, we wanted to examine if this variation is different in top and bottom part of the stem. For this, we had 400 diverse winter wheat experimental lines and 30 release varieties. These are the list of varieties over here, but I didn't want to go in detail of this, but these are released in central part of the United States, mainly on Kansas, Colorado, Texas, Oklahoma, and those places, from those places. But because of the time constraint, I'll just focus on these results from these release varieties. And the varieties were planted in several different locations in western Kansas in paired plots. The reason for planting in paired plots is like we wanted to also calculate the translocation efficiency, because not only the accumulation of water-soluble carbohydrate is important, translocation is also important at the same time. So translocation was estimated by spraying the desiccant on the plant, which act similar to terminal drought stress. This drying strip over here in the field is due to spraying of desiccant, which is similar to terminal drought stress. Okay, for water-soluble carbohydrate concentration or content, we choose 20 stem samples from one plot, and those stem samples were dried to constant weight. And after drying, the leaf, seed, hair were removed from them, and they were separated into two parts. The first part included the portion above the top node, and the second part included the portion below the top node. And they were ground using UD mill grinder and allowed to pass through 0.2 millimeter screen, because it's really important to have the uniform particle size when we want to screen them through NIR spectroscopy. So this is the platform that I use for NIR scanning. I have a sample over here, and the scanning was done with AST lab spec for instrument over here, and it can take the measurement from 350 to 2500 nanometer over here. This instrument is hooked up to the computer over here, and we can get the measurement in the presented in the form of graph over here in every 2 nanometer intervals. So for the varieties, we have like 244 plots. For out of 240 plots, 25% of the samples were analyzed for lab concentration by using Anthrone method in the lab. And those 25% of the samples was used for the calibration and model validation using partial risk-squared regression in R. So we used 45 samples for calibration. First, number of components was determined, and after we determined the number of components, we tried to fit the model using NIR reflectance and also using the water-soluble carbohydrate measure on the lab. And based on the RMSE value of 3 to 4% and R-squared value of 0.94, we see that our model is working well. And using this model, we validated our data in 20 independent samples, and we see this was performing okay. It looks like the model is underpredicted, but we are still working on increasing the model, but the R-square looks pretty good over here. So moving further, for the distribution of water-soluble carbohydrate, and the figure on the left portion over here, it's on the stem basis, which is the average of top and bottom portion of the stem, and we can see it has median, it was around the median of 300, but the variation was from 150 to 400 milligram per gram per stem. So moving further, like looking independently on the top portion and the bottom portion, we see there was much higher variation, as we can see in the frequency distribution in this graph over here. This was separately for the top and bottom. Okay, we wanted to see that more clearly in terms of parts of the stem. So for the dividing them into different plant parts, that we see that top parts was accumulating much less compared to the, even significantly less compared to the bottom part of the stem. So we saw like there should be some genetic relation for this difference in accumulation. So, and the similar trend was observed for the data on 2016, where top was even much lower compared to the bottom part of the stem. So this B is below top node, and T is above top node of the with stem. So looking that across the varieties, we see there was a huge variation in between the varieties over here, which it's ranging from 135 milligram per gram to 300 milligram per gram in 2016 for 30 varieties. And this variation was not very prominent in two different treatments, irrigation and water-limited treatments, which could be because of the year 2016, which was relatively more wet year when we didn't see any treatment difference in the plant. Both the treatments were equally performing well on that year. But there was a huge variation in different varieties. And this variation was even more prominent when we are looking at the experimental lines. They were in a wide range compared even more than these varieties over here. So we see a huge variation in this water-soluble carbohydrate, but we wanted to see how this variation linked to yield and yield components. So this figure on the left-hand side, it's looking for the plot yield and water-soluble carbohydrate concentration relation. And similarly, the figure on the right is for 1,000 kernel weight. So we see there was a significant correlation between these two traits, but the correlation was higher for the 1,000 kernel weight compared to the plot yield with 0.57 in 1,000 kernel weight. So, but this was for the whole stem basis, the concentration along the stem, but we wanted to see like how this, also wanted to see how this relate to like top concentration and bottom concentration. And looking further, this concentration was much related to the bottom concentration for 1,000 kernel weight and compared to the top concentration, and it was more highly significant as well for this one over here for the bottom concentration, which was below top node. Similar trend was observed for the plot yield as well for both of the threads, yield and yield component. And looking further, we measure height on those samples as well, and we wanted to see if there is, because it's a concentration across the stem, so we wanted to see if there is relationship with the height and the concentration. But we did, there were, the correlation was not very strong with the height, but height, it was loosely but statistically significant correlation with the translocation. So from this figure, we can say like the height is more impacting on the translocation of water-soluble carbohydrate than on the actual concentration stored in the stem. So this, for summary and conclusion, it's basically the reiteration of the results that I just presented. And we see that NIR spectroscopy can be used to predict water-soluble carbohydrate in wheat. And also, we also saw that there was a significant positive correlation to yield and yield component, 1,000 kernel weight, of water-soluble carbohydrate. And also we saw that the water-soluble carbohydrate stored at the bottom was more correlated to yield compared to the top portion of the stem. And at the end, we see also that plant height was affecting more the translocation of water-soluble carbohydrate compared to the accumulation. And also I'd like to acknowledge my lab members for their help on planting, harvesting, and data collection, and also the members from the Colby team for their help on planting, and also thanks to Abhishek Lamsal for his help on analysis of the data, and also happy to take some questions if I have time. Yes. I don't have much idea on the peanuts, it's an agreement with the other research in the past as well, like bottom part is accumulating more. I think it's mainly because of the it mainly contributes to the genotype of the plant that's helping the plant to accumulate more towards the bottom, I'd say.